Gene, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing today?
Good, Joey. How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, and I'm sure you're doing even better watching your Tigers be pretty much great throughout all the season. And the key to it has been their pitching, obviously. And it's a great thing to see a team that struggled so horribly last year. They were such a disappointment. They finished in the cellar, pretty much, and it was very unencouraging to see that go on. And the unfortunate thing in it all is that we all know that the talent was there, and I'm not too sure what was going on with that. Now, this year, obviously, they went out and got a guy like Edwin Jackson, and I think that was perhaps one of the biggest moves of the offseason that went under the radar. But pretty much, he's been a stud for them, and so is Porcello and everybody else. So do you think the pitching has been the huge key to them succeeding this year?
No, starting pitching has been everything. I mean, right now they have a chance to win 3 out of 5 games almost every time out. Verlander and Jackson have been incredible at the top of the rotation, and Porcello's been surprisingly good too. And the back end of the rotation is a little shaky. Armando Galarraga looks like he's going to turn it around a little bit. He's been pretty good in his last 3 starts. Still doesn't have a win to show for it. But that fifth spot, that's the big question. You know, every time they send Dontrell Willis out there, it's a coin flip.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's a huge problem. And Josh, you know more about pitching. You have anything to ask him about the whole pitching side of the Detroit Tigers?
Absolutely. I was going to say, I've got a great question. With Verlander, and I watched him pitch in college because I live about 30 minutes from ODU where he went to school. To me, it seems like he's been more dominant since he stepped his velocity down a little bit, thrown the two-seamer with more movement. Is that the same thing that you've seen, or is that curveball just nasty as it's ever been?
Well, let's see. He definitely is throwing harder this year, and I know that was a big problem last year. Some people thought he had shoulder problems because the velocity was down. And the curveball is there, too. I mean, I think that's a good question. The thing that the Tigers talked about in spring training was changing his arm slot, lowering it a little bit, and also making sure he landed on his plant foot softer, and that was supposedly going to give him better control and better velocity, and those adjustments seem to have worked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a kid who looks like he didn't know what he was doing for a year and a half, and all of a sudden, you know, he's an instantaneous, you know, shot for this young. I mean, right now it's him and Greinke and Halladay, of course, but he's looked outstanding.
I think a big difference also is that Verlander trusts his defense more a little bit this year. Last year, I think the pitching staff, it really got into their head that, you know, if they allow even a ground ball, there was a strong chance that it would sneak through the left side of the infield because, you know, Carlos Guillen wasn't good at third base. Miguel Cabrera wasn't good when he was there. Edgar Renteria has no range anymore. So that's a big difference. I think they do have the confidence to put the ball in play. And for the most part, Verlander knows he's going to get some runs scored for him. That was also a big problem. Despite the lineup, they would just go really cold when he pitched. Maybe they thought, you know, well, he's going to shut the other team down. We don't have to score any runs. And I think that got into his head, too.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy who's an ace pitcher when he's right, and it's almost like he took a bit of a sabbatical from being that ace pitcher. And I watched him. The first start that I realized that, wow, this guy's back, was the one he had against the Yankees, and I'm not sure who he was facing that day. It might have been Sabathia. He was somebody. And I was just watching this guy pitch, and I was like, wait a second, I thought Verlander stuck. And then when I saw him stink, I was like, wait a second, I thought Verlander was good. And, I mean, the guy has pitched no-hitter before, and I think, you'll probably agree with me, they're up 4 over the Twins in the division. They're 6 over .500, and you'd think they'd be a lot better than that, given how how their pitching has been, but what's going on with the bullpen? I mean, Rodney's been healthy so far, as has Zamaya. He's been back for now, at least. And then they went out and got a guy. It might have been an insurance policy in Brandon Lyon. What do you make of the makeup of that bullpen?
I think, for the most part, Leland has the parts he wants. I mean, Rodney's been really good, as you said, as the closer. They've had a little bit of trouble getting to him. When they signed Brandon Lyon, he was an insurance policy against Rodney, but I think they also hoped that he'd win the job in spring training, and he didn't. So fortunately, they had Rodney, and he's been pretty good. Other than, well, technically he didn't blow a save, but he did blow a game the other night.
Yeah, and they lost a tough one today against the White Sox, and it's Jim Thome killing them or what? I mean, and it sucks. Guys into the division. He's like one of those guys. How about their catching situation? I mean, they had Pudge last year, and, you know, they traded him to the Yankees for Farnsworth and all that was going on. But now you see this team have Laird, who was there, and forgive me, I don't remember who the other guy was that went down. And then Ange was over there. He was splitting time with Pudge last year, from what I understand. And then now he's over third base, probably going to win a gold glove this year. What's going on with that catching situation?
Well, Gerald Laird's played quite well. I mean, he went through a pretty bad slump in May, but he's been hitting really well. He's been fantastic defensively. He's just gunning down runners regularly at second base. And he's good with the pitching staff. He's not the problem. The problem is the backup catcher. They signed Matt Traynor in the offseason, and he got hurt. His hip, or I think it's connected to the sports hernia operation that he had in the offseason, just wasn't healing, and he wasn't hitting. And they called up Dane Sardina from the minors, who is a good defensive catcher, but just can't hit. And if they got any production whatsoever, that would make a huge difference at the backup catcher slot. I mean, because it's, you know, it's just a big hole in the lineup every 3-4 days. You know, and they're willing to carry Sardina because they put a premium on defense at catcher. But eventually I think the Tigers are going to have to make a decision. Either they're going to have to trade for a backup catcher, or they're going to have to call up one of their prospects like Dusty Ryan, who I know they'd prefer to keep in AAA so he could play every day, but they might not have a choice.
Yeah, and I mean, look, this is a good team. And how about Ordonez this year? And 279, up from where he was. He had a huge, I guess you can say, emotional struggle in the WBC, you know, the whole problem with, you know, the home country and everything. But now he's only got 2 home runs. The guy hit 320 not too long ago. But, you know, in his power, you know, we're not too sure what's going on with that. But he now is in a situation where he has no power. At least for, you know, the time being. What do you think they are going to do with Ordonez? I mean, obviously they released Sheffield, and Sheffield's been pretty decent for the Mets. I mean, what's going on with Ordonez?
Well, early in the season when he was struggling, Jim Leland alluded to the fact that he had other things on his mind besides baseball. And, you know, the media didn't really pry into what that was, but a few weeks ago his wife had surgery in Miami for something, we don't know what, but that seemed to be weighing on his mind. And since that got cleared up, he's actually been hitting quite well, but like you said, he's still not hitting for power. And I don't know if it's just his skills are slipping, or, you know, some other Tigers bloggers have speculated that, you know, maybe he's changed his swing a little bit, so he's not driving the ball, he's just concentrating it on poking into the opposite field all the time. As far as what the Tigers can do, I really think they're stuck with him. You know, they signed him to this contract. I think they knew it was a ridiculous contract at the time. It's almost like they had to pay a tax because they couldn't get anybody to come play in Detroit. So they had to overpay. And the last 2 years of his contract, they'll kick in after he meets a certain number of plate appearances. And I think they're stuck with that money. Would they, you know, they'd probably like to trade him. I honestly don't see how they could do it unless they ate, you know, a big chunk of money. And given how badly the offense has performed in Detroit, I think it's also would be hard to justify trading one of the few guys that's actually hitting regularly, even if it's not for power.
All right, I understand what you're saying. So, another guy, and you might have one of the best offensive first basemen in the game, Miguel Cabrera, having a great year hitting for average. The home run numbers aren't quite there. I mean, you'd think he'd have a lot more than that. I mean, considering what this guy who's still young, he's what, 26 years old now, still capable of so much, and you can see so much more upside in that situation. Has he been the cornerstone of this offense, and who else complements him in that respect?
Yeah, he has been the cornerstone of the offense. He was the offense at the beginning of the season. He just got off to a torrid start. But he's battled a couple of nagging injuries here and there. He's really had problems with a hamstring over the past week. And maybe they should have even taken him out of the lineup, but I think they really had no choice but to play him. I also think he's suffering from a lack of protection in the lineup, you know, or Ordóñez, as we just talked about, isn't hitting for power, so pitchers aren't afraid of pitching around Cabrera now because they know Ordóñez isn't going to come back to hurt him. And Jim Leland's tried to do a couple of different things, like moving Curtis Granderson out of the leadoff spot and putting him in the fifth spot, which has helped a little bit, but I think it's kind of thrown off the balance of their order. Another power source they had for a while was Brandon Inge. He's cooled off a little bit. He hit a home run the other night. But, you know, he doesn't hit directly behind Cabrera. Usually he's in the sixth or seventh spot. So I think, really, they just need to get another bat behind Cabrera. You know, they're getting Marcus Thames back now. He should give them a little bit of power, but I don't know if he's an everyday solution. Really, they need to, probably more than anything, need to trade for a bat, preferably in the outfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Traynor was the other guy. That's right. I really like Curtis Granderson, and he was always seen as a guy who is pretty quick, plays a great center field. He has 13 home runs quietly this year. What do you think his ceiling is in terms of power, and is there one? I mean, he's not as young as Miguel Cabrera. But, I mean, he's still on the right side of 30. The average isn't quite there, but, I mean, the run score, the RBIs, all respectable numbers. How key is this guy to that team, and do you think he has reached his potential yet?
I don't think he's still reached his full potential because, as you said, the average is down. He still strikes out quite a bit. Given how much power he's hitting for right now, I'm wondering if maybe he is trying to hit home runs. I don't know if he's been asked to do that by Leland or he feels he needs to because nobody else is producing. But he's not the same hitter he's been in the past. You know, typically Granderson would hit the ball to the gap. He'd hit doubles. You know, he'd hit triples, and he's really not getting those sorts of hits right now.
All right, that's great. And Josh, what did you want to ask him?
Oh yeah, I was going to ask you when the season started and you guys got Edwin Jackson. When it happened, what was your opinion on that trade? And if I'm guessing, how stoked are you ended up the way it did?
Yeah, we're eating a lot of crow. I won't say it was universal, but it was pretty close. Everybody hated that trade. Matt Joyce was a really popular player. He seemed like exactly what the Tigers needed, a corner outfielder, a left-handed bat. Not much speed, but another young player, which they really don't have that many of that the system's producing. And then to trade him for what looked like a mediocre starting pitcher, maybe a third or fourth guy. Yeah, that wasn't popular at all, but, I mean, obviously that trade has really worked out in the Tigers' favor. And Dave Dombrowski looks like a genius for making it. And it looks even better, you know, with Joyce spending, what, the first two months of the season in the minors. I know he's come up and he's done pretty well, but this team would be in huge trouble without Jackson right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been a stud. And the other question, another quickie, is with Porcello. I watch a lot of minor league pitching and a lot of young kids, so I knew he was going to be good, thought he was going to be this good this fast is a little bit of an understatement. Do you feel the same way, and what do you see this kid feeling is being?
Well, I think the expectation was that he would be pretty good because he made the team out of spring training, and the thought was that if Leland decided he would make the team, then that meant he was one of the five best starting pitchers, and he probably was the best starting pitcher in spring training. But yeah, it's been a surprise. I think his demeanor, his composure, you know, he doesn't get rattled. He seems to stick to his game plan. The Tigers are really watching him closely in terms of his pitch counts and his innings. He usually doesn't surpass 85 pitches in a start. And they do, hopefully they'll have a surplus in starting pitching maybe in the next couple of weeks if Jeremy Bonderman heals up and Dontrell Willis can stay consistent, or maybe they'll end up skipping a turn or two through the rotation and maybe give him a little bit of rest and cut down on his innings.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you're talking about 85 pitches an outing. He's not even old enough to legally have his first drink yet, and that's how impressive this young guy is. And you mentioned Bonderman, Ian, and he was in. I'm not going to say, and with all due respect to him, I'm not going to say he was, Roger Clemens, but he did show glimpses of brilliance. What's been going on with him? Is it just the injury? I mean, is he ever going to get back to where he could have been?
Well, that's the big question. Yeah, he had the injury to his shoulder, as you alluded to, this thoracic outlet surgery. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, but where they had to take a rib out that was impinging on a vein and cutting off circulation to his shoulder. So he basically hadn't pitched a major league game for a year up until he just pitched Monday. And the big concern with him really is that he doesn't have his velocity. You know, on Monday he was topping out at 90. In his rehab starts, that's basically where he was too. And, you know, there was talk that he would try to become maybe a little bit more of a finesse pitcher. He's talked for the last 3-4 years about trying to develop a changeup, and it looked like he finally had that. But on Monday, he couldn't locate his fastball. His slider, which was his out pitch, just isn't there right now. And actually, the team announced that he would he'll miss his turn in the starting rotation. They're going to put him in the bullpen and start Dontrell Willis on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Mostly because Leland said he's worried about the fact that Bonderman doesn't have his slider yet. He just can't. I don't think he can be an effective pitcher right now, especially if he's not throwing at least in the mid 90s. I mean, he's never been one of these guys who throws like in the really high 90s. You know, he's not topping out at 98 or higher. He's usually been like in that 94, maybe 96 range, but he can't even reach there right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. With Dontrell, you know, I understand he had the anxiety issues, and, you know, I thought maybe people picked up his deliveries and what have you, but do you think he's ever going to get back to Dontrell at 120 games, or are they going to turn him into the next Rick Gankiel, because we all know he can swing the bat?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see him hit an interleague play this weekend. I have to say, I'm biased because the Dontrell Willis I've seen in a Tigers uniform has been largely terrible. So it's difficult for me to imagine that this guy could ever even come close to winning 20 games. He's just been so inconsistent. You know, he had one start against the Rangers a few weeks ago that just raised everyone's eyebrows because he was fantastic. You know, he held the Rangers to one hit over almost 7 innings, and everybody was wondering where that came from. But since then, he always seems on the verge of imploding. You know, against the Red Sox, you know, he was doing fine, and then he hit Jacoby Ellsbury with a pitch, and the umpire was squeezing him on some pitches, and he just seemed to completely unravel. It happened in his last start, too. I think A.J. Pierzynski tried to get under his skin a little bit, and it worked.
Yeah.
He can be rattled.
And that's the problem when you're coming back from any type of absence. Like, look at guys who have struggled or have gotten hurt and come back and lost a certain level of respect with the umpires. I mean, this isn't even related to the Tigers in particular, but just a general baseball situation. You see them get squeezed. You know, it's almost like they have to go through that process of not only finding their stuff, finding their command and their location, they've got to find a way to earn back that respect of the umpire so they can get those calls out of borderline.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it exactly. They have to prove to the umpires that they can throw strikes. And that was we saw a great example of that in with Dontrell's start last week against Boston. There were a lot of pitches that seemed close, you know, and you look at the charts on MLB Game Day and you think, you know, that was a strike, but it was just, you know, right on the line, and I guess the umpire was saying, you know, unless you can prove you can throw that consistently, they weren't going to give him the call. And, you know, maybe Dontrell needs to be mentally tougher and get through that. But for right now, he hasn't seemed capable of doing that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, you know, about him being able to keep his composure. I wonder that, you know, we know what the Greinke diagnosis was, you know, with the whole anxiety thing. Joey and I have talked a lot about that being, you know, a serious issue that we're going to see more and more pop up in Major League Baseball because it's a big deal. I mean, they're saying that Joey Votto might be going through kind of the same problem. So it'll be interesting to see if he can maintain his composure with the disease that he's been diagnosed with. Now, another question that I have for you, and I've been ignorant to this, so I wanted to get your opinion on it. Kind of a good feeling story for me in baseball that I don't think enough people talk about is the fact that Joel Zamaya is pitching again. You know, when last time I heard it, he, you know, he messed up his elbow playing Guitar Hero or what have you, and then, you know, he moved that whole fire thing. He busted up his shoulder, and the last thing I heard was he was never going to play baseball again. How's his velocity look? How's his control look? Are you guys happy to have him back?
His velocity seems fine. His control, actually, probably over his last few appearances, his last four, five, six appearances, his control's been off. Actually, I mean, I just watched him blow the game against the White Sox. So, you know, he walked a batter. He gave up a hit. He had a throwing error that looked like the kind of stuff they were doing in the 2006 World Series. He's not ready to be their closer yet, but they don't need him to be their closer. It's made a huge difference having him in the bullpen, though. I mean, to have a guy who can come in and strike out, you know, one or two batters when needed, they just haven't had that the last 2 years, and it's made a huge difference.
Yeah, and that's great. And Ian, I'd like to thank you on. You've been on longer than I would have liked to kept you, but it was great. And thank you so much for coming on, and bless you boys, right?
Sir, thank you very much for having me on.
BlessYouBoys.com, wonderful Tigers blog. You get premium content over there, so make sure you check them out.